dismissed the children's church. Praise the Lord. It's good to have all of you today in service with us. And man, you're spread out just right. Makes it look full. That's a good thing. Amen. Amen. We are glad you're here today in service with us. And God bless you is our prayer and our heart's desire for you today. We're going to go back to where we left off last Sunday morning. And start with Romans, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. And we didn't get all the way completely finished with that particular verse. And so we're going to do our best today to finish that and go from there. Boy, isn't God good, though? And He's given us so many blessings. And there's just so many of them. We can't begin to name everything that God has done for us. And because of that, well, not just because of that, but just simply because He's God, and His Word teaches us that we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice, we ought to do it. It's in His Word. It's not something that I, as a pastor or preacher, decided this is what I want this church to do. It's just what God's Word tells us to do. And so we go through a whole list, not a list, but, you know, different things we preach, and some things you need to come back to ever so often. And this is one of them. And so Romans, the 12th chapter and the first verse, and this title of this, of course, is Presenting Your Bodies to God, Presenting Yourself to God. And so that's what we're going to do. Let's read chapter 12 of Romans, verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to try our best to bring to you second part of that first verse and talk to you a little bit about what God expects from us as Christians. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, as you read this scripture, you'll see that it's a preface to Paul talking again about spiritual gifts. If you'll read that, you'll see that he's prefacing. He's getting ready to talk again about spiritual gifts. And that's really not what we're going to talk about today, but wouldn't it be normal to assume that if you're going to operate with the spiritual gifts, that you would want to first, that God would first expect you to be totally sold out to Him and doing everything within your power to live for Him correctly? Wouldn't you assume that God would expect that? And so Paul is saying, here's what you need to do before God can use you, before God can really use you in a way that He'd like to use you. This is what you've got to do, first and foremost. So, last week we talked about, first off, anything less than total devotion to God is sin. Man, God expects us to be totally devoted to Him. And I know it's, and we're not, I know it's difficult, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have lives outside of the church. We all do. You know, God expects that. We're in this world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world, and we live our lives. We have families, we have grandchildren, we have jobs we go to, we have all these things that we do, everybody does as they live life. But God expects something different from the Christian, and that is to present yourself a living sacrifice. In other words, doing everything you can to serve God. And to prove that you're a Christian. I got a little text yesterday or last night from a lady, and she said, Brother Stone, can I ask you a question? I said, sure, what is it? And it's somebody that doesn't go to our church, but has attended our church in the past. And she says, what's the difference between a Christian and a true Christian? I thought, you know what my answer was? There's no such thing in the Bible. Either you are or you're not. There's not a Christian and a true Christian. There's not maybe a little bit of a Christian and a whole lot of a Christian. It's just either you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. Now, that person knew the answer. She knew that was the answer to the question, but apparently there had been some kind of discussion that she'd been having with some people about it. Either you are or you're not. Come on, let's get real. Either you're serving God or you're not. You may not be as, and I said this, you may not be as far along in maturity as others, There's different levels of maturity that some of us, that sometimes if we're not careful, become a little bit self-righteous and say, well, they ought to not be doing that. And maybe they had not to be doing that, but they may not be as far along in the journey as you are. And there may be some things that you're doing as far along as you are in your journey for Christ that you shouldn't be doing neither. But we're all attaining. We're heading a direction and we're doing our best to present ourselves to God. So anything less than total devotion to God is short of God's glory, and it's sin. And so we need to understand that. We need to be totally sold out to God. So we need to be totally committed to God. And Paul doesn't just really strongly urges this. And it's important that we do it. So there's several more things I could repeat, but I want to try to move on and get to my second part. And so we understand that the mercies of God are overflowing. And they're more and they're deeper and they're far beyond anything we could desire. You really sell out to God, you begin to understand the mercies of God. Man, I like God's mercy. I enjoy, I bask in His grace. I need His grace and mercy every day in my life. And so I understand, I've been living this a long time, ladies and gentlemen, and I've learned that there are times we all fail. There are times we all let down. There's times that we all disappoint. But God's mercy and His grace is sufficient. So we need to understand that. So in light of God's mercy and in light of God's grace, we learned last week that because of all God's done for us, we must and we should devote ourselves to God. Think about what He's done. If you can't think of anything else, think about how He saved you. Man, what He brought you up out of. What He's kept you from all these years of serving Him. Or maybe you haven't served Him very long, but what He's kept you from? I thank God. I was thinking about this the other day. And I think about my life before I was a really dedicated Christian in my teens. You know, boy, we all do silly things in our teens. Wait a minute, that's too soft of a phrase. We do stupid things when we're teens. We do. And Abigail, you're getting there. Understand, Pastor will understand you do stupid things when you're a teen. But I hope you don't go that route. But we do things. And I was thinking about things I'd done and some of the stuff I did do. I actually did and I shouldn't have. But then I got to thinking about some of the stuff I had opportunity to do. I mean, a wide open door of opportunity. And something stopped me. It was there. It was available. All I had to do was walk right into it, right through the door or seize the opportunity. And something prevented me. And I got to thinking about that, and that was nothing but the grace of God. Because God knew my future. He knew I could survive this, but if I stepped through that door, I was going to open up a Pandora's box of grievous things to suffer. And for whatever reason, and I know it was the prayers of my parents, and maybe some of some of the people in the church that I was attending at the time, their prayers put a hedge around me, although as a rebellious teenager, that prevented me from going off into a direction that would have probably destroyed me. And you, most of you would have never got to know me. Wouldn't that have been sad? Serious, I would never probably stood up here, never pioneered this church, if it hadn't been for the grace of God. So anyway, I owe him my life. I owe him a debt of gratitude, and don't we all? So let's get on into the second part of this. And so we stopped there last week, and we know that we're to live a clean, holy, righteous, pure, moral life before God. That's part of presenting our bodies to Him. And so we stopped here last week, and for the reason, some of the reason, we talked about that we're to present our body a living sacrifice because God demands our body and God expects it. And then we also learned last week, and we got to this point, another reason why the believer is to present our body to God, it's twofold. Number one, it's a dedication. The dedication of the body to God is acceptable. Number one, it's acceptable. Wait a minute. Who's it acceptable to? It's acceptable by God. God says to present your body a living sacrifice, which is holy, acceptable to God. God expects it. It's acceptable to God. That's what God will accept from us. What's that mean? Well-pleasing. Simply present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, which is well-pleasing to God. The opposite of well-pleasing is disappointing. So if we're not doing it, we have to assume that we're disappointing God. When God wants us to make Him pleased with us, and it's simple. Just present yourself to God. You don't have to be perfect. You're in a process of perfection. But you are expected by God, if you want to please God, to present yourself to God, to make yourself available to Him. He expects it. He wants that. And you know what? We ought to want to do that. And it's well-pleasing to Him as we give ourselves to God. It's extremely satisfying to God. So I want to please God. Well, it's simple. Present your body a living sacrifice. That's well-pleasing to God. You have pleased God because you are doing everything in your power to please God by presenting yourself to God. Why can't we do that? Why can't we grasp that? Why do we want to hold back some of ourselves? Why do we want to try to keep a secret part held back? And God already knows it. He sees it. He knows your heart. Why don't we just give it all to Him? Can you imagine how your life would change? Can you imagine what you might be able to do for God if you would just totally sell out? That's all God wants. He wants everything. Well, I think God gave everything when He gave His Son on the cross and He hung up there in agony and in shame, gave His life a ransom for you. Did not God do the best He could and give you the very best gift when He gave His Son for your life, for your sins? All God wants you to do is give back to Him what He's given you, and that's He's given you eternal life. So now give Him your short-term temporal life. So you live 100 years old. That's not nothing compared to eternity. I went to a home and garden show this weekend, or on Friday, and wife and I, and I was amazed of all the old folks was up there, and I got to thinking, well, I think we fit in. and it's kind of discouraging. But I was noticing some of the people was quite a bit older than us, and they was looking at hot tubs, and one of them, his wife was on a walker, and he said, "Come here, here's the one." Dude, she can't get in it. But I was thinking, this, looking at all this stuff and all these old people, you've lived your life, and now you're thinking about remodeling your house and spending all this money. Have you thought about eternity lately? You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, come on, there's some things that are more important than a new hot tub. And if you've lived 3/4 of your life or more, you might ought to start thinking about eternity if you haven't already. You understand? I'm not wanting any of you to die very soon, but you know what? I'm 61, so I'm closer to death than I am to life. Although I'm alive right now, my body is perishing every day. And I better be getting ready for eternity if the Lord tarries. Amen? And I don't expect to die today, but it could happen. And I better be ready. So in process of that, I'm presenting myself to God, doing everything I can for God while I'm here. Because I'm preparing for the future, for my eternity, not for just here. There's nothing wrong with getting some nice stuff. There's nothing wrong with doing it. I'm not begrudging that to anybody. My goodness, do it if you got the money and time to do it. Do it. It's okay. I'm not telling you just to live like a pauper, never do anything, and just, you know, let's all go enroll. I don't guess you enroll at the convent, but I'm not joining no, that's for women too, isn't it? I'm not telling you just to do that stuff. You understand what I'm saying? I made it funny there. Y'all caught that? Okay. We are to present our bodies to God, which is well-pleasing to God. You see, so we should seek to be acceptable and pleasing to God because that would give God joy. See, we're always wanting to look for what's God going to do for me and how's God going to make me happy and where's my joy? I need joy. I do need joy, don't you? But we got to look past that. What gives God joy? And I guarantee you, if you'll start thinking about what gives God joy, your joy will be multiplied. It will be increased. His blessings will overtake you if you'll put God first. It doesn't mean your life's going to be totally stress-free. It doesn't mean you won't ever have another problem. You will. I mean, you know, something's going to go wrong in life. That's life. But we'll have joy and peace in the process because we have presented ourselves. We're pleasing to God. And so God's looking out for us. Like you said, the tower of refuge and strength. That's our God. That's our God. So we got to understand that. So we are to be dedicated to God. We should be pure and holy and clean and involved in and committed in helping people so that God's heart can be flooded with joy about what we're doing for Him. So God can sit on His throne and say, hey, look at that. Would you, hey, stop the praising a minute. We got to pay attention to this. You know what I'm saying? That God says, look at what they're doing. Look at how they're pleasing me. That's worth looking at. Let's stop everything for a moment. Let's pay attention. Come on, wouldn't you like God to do that? Just stop heaven and say, oh, look what they're doing. That's making me so happy. Fills my heart with joy. We can do that if we'll just do that. And so understand this. Either you're presenting your body to God in a way that's causing God to feel joy, or you're presenting yourself in a way that causes grief to God. I don't want to cause God grief. I want to bring joy to God's heart. He's done so much for me. I want Him to rejoice. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and 9th verse, He says, whether we labor, wherefore we labor, whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of Him. Wherefore we labor, whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of Him. I want God to accept my praise. I want God to accept my person. I want God to be well pleased with me. And I know you do too. I know it's a struggle sometimes because life gets in the way. Problems rear their ugly head. Life just sometimes just has a way of knocking you down, doesn't it? It just has a way of interfering with your joy and your peace and your satisfaction in serving God. But I'm going to tell you, folks, it's well worth living for God. Whatever presents itself to you is still worth living, overcoming it, and living for God. Amen? Putting God first. And then secondly, the dedication of the body to God is the believer's reasonable service. It's acceptable to God, and God says it's reasonable. Isn't that something? You mean I got to give God everything I got, and He says that's well-pleasing and reasonable? To us, sometimes it seems unreasonable. God, you're asking too much. I can't do it. I won't do it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you'll do it, your whole life will change. And if you really get your perspective right and you're thinking on your thinking cap on straight, you're going to realize that if God says it, that's what we ought to do. And if God says it, that's the best way to do it. And it'll bring joy. It'll bring peace. It'll bring some satisfaction into your Christian walk. It'll help you to want to be a part of what God's doing. He says that word reasonable means it's rational. It's intelligent. Well, I'm kind of like one of the old Henson boys, Kenny Henson. He says, I never was called a smart one in the group, but I was intelligent enough or smart enough one time to call Jesus my friend and Lord and accept Him as Savior. So to present yourself to God is another intelligent step. Not just accept Him as Savior, but say, you are my Lord, and I present myself to you. I was reading about Joseph this week, and if you'll read the stories in the Bible, anytime they came into the presence of a king, what did they do? They bowed. They didn't just walk up to, hey, king. They went in there, they had their heads bowed. If they needed to, they went on their knees, and they put their face on the floor. Until the king says, come here. Well, hadn't we ought to be even more reverent of God than we would a man? I was talking to a lady the other day, and her daughter got to meet President Obama. She says, all that stuff. I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't agree necessarily with his politics and some of the things he's done, but if he was to walk through that door right now, I would stand And I'd greet him as Mr. President. I would respect his office, whether I agree with what he's doing or not. He is the president. And he has an office that I should respect. Whether I like what he's doing or not, whether I agree with his politics or not, I should respect the office. She says, you would? I absolutely. I would greet him. I wouldn't necessarily. You understand what I'm saying? Well, God demands and expects more than that. He's God. The president's a man. He's going to go away one of these days. God's eternal. The president can't save me. But God saved me through his son, Jesus. The president can't give me what I need for joy and peace and eternal life. But Jesus did. Come on now. Boy, it got quiet on me when I said that. We need to accept that. We want to please God. That's intelligent. We need to change our mindset. And to the word service here would mean worship or ministry. We were worshiping God earlier today, and we ought to worship him not just when we're in a church setting, but in every setting in our lives. Drive down the road going to work. I don't like this job. Well, thank God I've got a job. Thank you, Lord, I've got a job. I don't like this, but Lord, I'm glad I've got it. I'm glad you're supplying my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm going to do my best today. I'm going to serve you on this job. If somebody asks me why, I'm going to go in there with a smile on my face. They ask me what in the world's wrong with you, I'm going to say, I've got Jesus, that's all. Why don't you ever get frustrated? Because I have Jesus and he's my peace. I'm just going to serve God. I'm going to let people know I'm a Christian because of the way I handle my stress. And I deal with that, by the way. And my wife says I'm a candidate for road rage. But I want y'all to know something. I was being real patient yesterday, and she finally looked at me and said, if I was driving, I'd go around him. I said, uh-huh. And you tell people I'm a candidate. I'm in no hurry. I'm just going to take my time. She says, yeah, but I'd go around him. So, come on now. That cuts both ways here, both directions. So, we are to dedicate ourselves to God in every situation of our lives. Present our bodies to him, a living sacrifice, which is reasonable and acceptable to God. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. So, we are to dedicate our body to him. We should, first off, probably every day we ought to worship God through his word, through reading his word, and praying. Well, I don't have no time. You're not taking time. How many hours do you watch TV? How much time? I won't get off on you taking your kids to ball practice and going over here and doing that and going to work. You got to do all that stuff, I understand. But somewhere along the line, we got to take time for God, make time for God. He's the most important thing. But yet he's usually put on the back burner. Okay, Lord, you know I was busy today and I'm tired. I'm going to bed. And then I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You get up and say, good morning, Lord. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you tonight. And the night comes, I'll see you tomorrow. And we don't take time to read the word. We all get busy, don't we? Every single one of us struggle with this, even me. If I'm not careful, I get busy with little busy activities throughout the day, and I don't stop and pray. I don't stop and read like I ought to. Now, I understand you don't have to pray an hour a day. Come on now. It'd be probably good for some of us if we would. But we ought to be praying sometime. In fact, as the Bible says, we ought always pray and not faint. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, pray without ceasing. So we always should be in prayer, but we should have a prayer time that's in our prayer closet. And presenting ourselves to God, opening our spirits up to what God would say to us, because it's difficult doing that sometimes when you are busy in your activities of the day. You've got to set aside some time for God to minister to you his will. I like God to speak to me, don't you? I like to hear his voice and know that it's God speaking. So we need to worship God in prayer and word every single day. You know what? We worry about what we eat. We worry about what we drink. We worry about what we're going to wear. We put some time and thought into it. Most of us. I mean, I get up and eat breakfast and I ask my wife, what's for lunch? Well, I don't know. We just had breakfast. I said, yeah, but we got to prepare. I didn't get this big by not eating. And after we get through the lunch, I said, well, what's for dinner? Well, I haven't gave it no thought. I said, you need to be thinking. I'll be hungry 5 or 6 o'clock this afternoon. What are we going to do? I don't know. Well, you know what? I haven't missed very many meals. And if she don't want to fix it, I say, get in the car. We're going somewhere. Amen? Or I'll get out the chips and dip. That's real good for me. You see, some people treat this body, however, like it's the only thing that matters. We treat it. I mean, we even take care of it like it don't matter. I mean, some people have gym memberships, and they go to the gym, and they work out, and they eat just the right. I know you don't, Terry. It shows, son. I shouldn't have done that. And, well, it does. And mine does, too. And, they treat the body like it's just we're just here for now, and we're going to treat the body for now, and it's not necessary if we don't think about eternity. And it's very important that it's more than physical, and it's more than mental, it's more than social development. It's eternal. What we do with our body is eternal, and the eternal is more important than the temporary, which is the physical body now. Am I saying you shouldn't take care of yourself? Oh no, I'm not saying that at all. Do you know they say if you walk just 20 minutes a day, vigorously walk 20 minutes a day, you'll extend your life by 3 years. At least 3 years by walking? How many of you walk 20 minutes a day? Raise your hands. One person raised their hand. How many is going to start walking 20 minutes a day? I got one little brief wave. I don't want to commit too much to this. But you know what? It's important that we take care of our body. The Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, whose temple you are. We are to take care of this earthly temporary body while we have it, but we don't want to get so caught up in what we're doing here that we forget about our eternity there. You understand? Prepare for eternity. That's the most important part. But take care of your existence while you're here. Do what you ought to do. Treat your body like it matters. You know, some people treat it like it don't matter. Well, it does matter. I want to live as long as I can and be as productive for God as I can and bring as much joy to God's heart as I can while I'm on earth. Because after I leave planet earth, I can't do anything else for Him. I'll be in His presence, I'll get to go worship Him, but I can't do anything on earth to further His kingdom, to build His kingdom, to build up people. So my life here will be over, and I'll no longer be able to present myself to Him in that way. Oh, that's what I'm striving for, that's what I'm living for, I understand that. But you understand, while we're here, we've got to present ourselves to Him that we might please Him and bring joy to His heart. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Folks, it's important that we live for God. God's view of the body differs radically from man's view. God's view of the body is higher and more supreme than man's view. When God created man, He created him in His own image. Do you understand that? He created man in His image, formed him out of the dust of the earth, breathed life into him, into his nostrils, and created him like Himself. In other words, He gave him a spirit and a soul. You say, well, I don't know that God looks like we look like. Well, the Bible says He created us in His image. So we must look something like we look. If we could see Him. We know Jesus came to earth like a man. Was He not? Born of the Virgin Mary and lived like a man, looked like every man looked back then. I don't know if He had a beard and long hair. I don't have a clue. I really don't. He may have. He may not have. It doesn't matter to me. Does it you? It doesn't matter what He looked like. It matters that He came to earth to die for our sins. And because He came to die for our sins, we owe it to Him to live for Him in our bodies while we're here. Not just accept the pardon without presenting the body. There's more to it. And so He has a higher image of us. And it was given to us by Him, and so it's part of His being. When God sent His Son into the world, He chose to send Him in a human body, in a human body just like ours. And it says, for as much, in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, it says, and for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you understand? We were in bondage before Jesus came. If Jesus hadn't come, you'd still be in bondage today. When the fullness of time, when the time was right, God sent his Son so he could die for you. Why in the world can we not grasp this, that we need to live for him because he died for us and delivered us from the bondage of sin? Man, we ought to live for him. We ought to want to live for him. It ought to be our joy to live for him. The Bible says, and I quoted it a while ago, but I'll quote it I'll read it properly here. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the 19th and 20th verse. And Paul starts this with a question. What? That's what he said. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you've been born again, you belong to God. Your body and your spirit's his. And you ought to serve him. You ought to give him your best. You ought to sell out for a change. Quit holding back. And so anyway, so there's a degree of discipline. I'm trying to hurry through. We're running out of time. And there's a degree of discipline in all this. And here's what the Bible says concerning that. Romans 6:13. Neither yields your members instruments of your members or your body parts as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from dead or made perfect or in perfection, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Rome that they are to do. Present yourself to God as instruments of righteousness, not unrighteousness. God puts a big mandate on us, don't he? Puts a big load on us and expects us to live by his word. But we have too many people, too many folks, too many ways to go anymore, but there's only really one way. But yet people will discuss it and dissect it and dilute it and try to make it fit their lifestyle when you cannot fix I won't say what John Wayne said about that. But anyway, you can't change God's word to fit your standards. You must change your standard to fit God's word. Stop diluting what God says and trying to do it your way when God says, give me all. And that's what he expects. There's a mental discipline that we have to go through to get there. And it says, casting in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus, We're to do that, ladies and gentlemen. We got to cast. There's thoughts going to enter your mind. There's going to be things that you might want to do. There's going to be things that might enter your mind to do. Things that would be totally an abomination to God. Totally going against what God wants, and you've got to cast that down. Don't give thought to it. Don't give place to the devil. That is, the Bible says, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What did it say first? Submit to God. In other words, present your body a living sacrifice unto God. Then you can resist the devil. Then you can cast down these imaginations and all these thoughts and everything that's revolting again, that revolts against God, and bring your body into subjection to the Spirit of God and present it like you are the vessel of God, so that God might use you for his glory and so that you can bring some joy to God's heart. That's what he wants, what he expects. And you know what? I believe you can do it. I believe you can do it. And I'm getting ready to close. But I want you to understand this. In all this process and all I've said, God still wants you to enjoy life. Fact is, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So serving Christ is not something that stops your fun, creates a bunch of roadblocks and a bunch of do's and thous and do nots and all that stuff. There's some things you can't do when you're a Christian. But you know what I found? I don't want to do them. I don't want to go get drunk. There's thoughts entering my mind about stuff sometimes. I don't want to do it. I cast it out. That is not me and that's not God. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give place to that thought. That's out of here. Got to go. And so that's what you do. But Jesus said, I come that you have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. So in summary, in closing, just closing one or two. Scripture teaches us that the human body is of supreme importance to God. It's of supreme importance to Him. He loves you. He loves each of you, just like you are. But He wants you to present yourself to Him. We should take care of our body as well as we can. It doesn't, though, however, the body doesn't exist just for life alone. It has a far more supreme purpose than just to exist for a few years and then cease to be. It's how some people believe. You're born, you live for a few years, and then you die, and that's it. It has a far more supreme purpose than that. A far more supreme purpose. The body of man has been created by God to be resurrected by God and to live eternally. Can you imagine that? He created us so that we could be resurrected and live with Him. No other creation has been created for that reason. Cows and horses, and dogs and cats and pigs, and farm animals, whatever kind of animal are out there, they're made for a reason. They weren't made to serve God in that sense. But we were made to serve God. We were created in His likeness and in His image to serve Him. There's a lady, and I don't remember her name now. Mother, you'd know, but Sherman and Margaret Klontz's daughter used to sing that song, Faye Klontz. I was born, it's an old song. They sang it back when I was a teenager. When I was just a kid. I mean, before I was a teenager. And I was born to serve the Lord. It's an old, old song they used to sing for specials in the church. And I love that song. I love to hear Faye sing that song when I was 9, 10 years old. Created in His likeness. Made in His likeness. Created in His image. I was born to serve the Lord. And I don't know all the verses to it, or the rest of the words even, but that's us. We were created and made in His likeness to serve Him. And we ought to glorify Him in our bodies by presenting it a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is reasonable. And the next verse says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you ready? We've started a new year. It's time to go back, get back to the basics. The basic Christianity. Serving Him with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our minds. Presenting ourselves to Him. If you'd stand to your feet. Heads bowed. Please, Christians praying.